Your place again, the book of Exodus. We go now to chapter number 5. This is our Old Testament book we're studying through together. We just finished chapter number 4. We're going into chapter 5 tonight. God willing, I'll get through this entire chapter, the good Lord willing. Exodus chapter 5. If you're taking notes, I'm preaching through the whole chapter, but I'm going to turn to verse number 20 just to get our text, and then we'll dive right in. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh." I want you to notice the three words, "in the way." In the way. And I begin a message tonight entitled, "In the Way." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word. Thank you for how you've dealt with me thoroughly in my own office and studying this out and typing it out. I thank you for how you've dealt with me. And I pray that you'll help me to get across what you got across to me. I realize that unless you do this, I'll mess things up. Get me out of the way. Help me to be clear tonight, concise tonight, understood tonight, I pray. Make it where we all can get it and take it home with us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter, we're studying through this book, we're reminded how the Lord has tenderly dealt with Moses and his excuses until Moses came to the point where he waved the white flag of surrender to the will of God. Now, we preached on that all day on Sunday out of chapter 4. We noticed how Moses took his wife and his sons and began his journey toward the land of Egypt to be used of God to set the Israelites free from Egyptian bondage. Now, while on this journey, Aaron came to meet him just like God said he would. They both made their journey to the land of Egypt where they met with the elders of the children of Israel. This is the latter part of chapter 4. And in this meeting, they told the Israelite elders and chiefs there, if you will, all the words that God had spoken to Moses, and showed them all the signs to confirm that it was truly God, because only God's power could do these signs. Now, when the people heard the words and saw the signs, the Bible closes, if you will, chapter 4, with the Israelites believing the word of God. They bowed their head and they worshiped. Now, needless to say, this was a great day for Moses and Aaron and the Israelites. God had looked on their affliction and had sent Moses and Aaron to get them out of bondage. No doubt this was a spiritual high day in the lives of Moses and Aaron because they're believing, like God said. It's great things taking place. Their life is now on the mountaintop. Things are looking up. Things are looking great. What a day it has been. Moses and Aaron are simply in the way of the will of God. That's where they're at. They are in the way. They are in the way of God's blessing. They are in the way of God's anointing. They are in the way of God's power. They are in the way of God's will for their life. They're in the way. And get this now, what they are doing is they are simply obeying God's will for the life. That's what they're doing. And this day, when they first show up, it's a glorious day. It's a wonderful day. Things are going great. But what will happen? Will Pharaoh immediately bow down and submit? Will they be packing their bags and leaving by nightfall? Will Moses and Aaron, being in the way, will Moses and Aaron, being in the way of God's blessing, God's power, God's will that cause everybody else in Egypt and everything else just to follow suit? Will this good day just keep getting better and better and better? I mean, will this great day just keep, will it just keep pouring on? Boy, I can't take this anymore. Let's dig in and find out. Five things I want to give tonight about the thought of in the way. I'm talking about when you are in the way that God has for your life. When you're in the place where God has told you to go. When you're in the way of God's blessing, God's power, God's will. Are you with me tonight? When you're in that way, when you're in the way, there's five things that Moses encountered. Five things. Right in this chapter. And it's time we understand something. Now I'm going to drive home a major thought at the end of this sermon, because it is a major thought that I'm driving home all sermon long. In other words, I'm going to swing the hammer and get the nail in a little bit with this number one. I'm going to swing it twice on number two. I'm going to swing it the third time, fourth time, fifth time, and in the conclusion, we're going to drive it home. It's important that we understand this chapter. The first thing that happened in the way, not out of it, in it, right with God. His heart's right with God. They're right where God wants them to be. God is blessing their life. They've had a great day. But when that happened, number one, in the way, he met apathy. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number one. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Question, are they obeying God here? Absolutely. "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." In other words, this is Pharaoh. This is the king. This is the one that back in this day, Pharaoh was considered a god. So they walk into I'm talking about Moses and Aaron. Moses dressed like a shepherd. He goes in with the power of God on his life, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." He's just gone to the Israelites. They have already believed him. He's on a spiritual high. He walks in and says, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." Now, will this day get better? And will Pharaoh say, "You got it? Go ahead. Go on." Is that what the Lord wants? "You have my permission. Go ahead." No. Look how he responded in verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who's the Lord?" Notice the letters of that name. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is Jehovah God. He's saying, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Look at verse number 9. "Let there be more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." Boy, you say, what's this mean? Let me explain this. Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is an absolute authority in that land. He's the ruler of that place, while Moses, a simple shepherd, comes into his presence to speak the word of God to Pharaoh. They told Pharaoh that Jehovah God commanded him to let his people go. Did Pharaoh listen to them and submit? No. He responded by saying, "Who's the Lord?" By the way, the next 10 chapters or so, he's going to get an answer to that question. Who is the Lord? He said that I should obey his voice and let him go. See, in Egypt, like I've already said, Pharaoh was considered a god. And in this, we see he didn't know the living God. He thought too much of himself, so he's going to pick a fight with God here. What he's doing is saying, "Who is this God that you're talking about? I don't know him. Who's he to say he can tell me what to do?" That's what he's doing. Now you say, "Jody, get this." Along with this, we see in verse number 9 that Pharaoh said the Israelites should not listen to these vain words. Let me ask you a question. Whose words were they? They were God's words. You know what that word vain means? You look it up, you know what it means? It means don't let them listen to these words that are nothing but a sham. That's what it means. It means don't let them listen to these deceitful, false, lying words. That's what that word vain means. In this we see, now get this, in these two things, who is the Lord? These are vain words. In these two things we see he was completely apathetic, disregarding God himself and the word of the living God. He didn't want anything to do with God. He didn't want anything to do with God's word. Now get this. The point is here, is that while Moses and Aaron were in the way, they experienced apathy towards God and his word from an unbelieving king. The one they were sent to speak these words to wanted nothing to do with God's word. Pharaoh was not going to do what God said to do because he didn't know who God was. By the way, the reason there's not a lot of doing for the Lord is because people don't know who he is. See, the who comes before the do, you see. He says, who is he that I should submit to him? He was not going to submit to him because he didn't know him. Here's the point I'm trying to get across under point number one. In the way, listen, this great day, this wonderful day, this day of spiritual mountaintops is getting ready to be taken down to a spiritual valley. I'm telling you that when everything was going good, it's like they had the rug stripped out from under them. Pharaoh is apathetic. Here's what I'm trying to get across. Not everyone we're called to give God's word to will respond right. They won't. We need to understand that being in the way does not mean everybody is going to respond right to God and his word. Being in the way does not mean that everybody else is going to be as excited as we are about God's word. Some of the ones that it is God's will for us to go to will not respond with respect, but with contempt for God and his word. You need to understand, I need to understand this. We need to understand that when we are living in the will of God, giving the word of God, living with God's power in our life, not everybody is going to be excited about that, friends. They're not going to be. There's going to be some people that they're going to try to take you down. They're going to try to talk you down. They don't want anything to do with it. Now, you need to understand that. And so do I. The first thing he met with was apathy. The second thing he experienced in the way was not only apathy, but he experienced, secondly, accusation. We see this in verse 3 and following. Notice this. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now, this was a legitimate request here, because the animals that the Israelites would use for sacrifice were considered as sacred in the land of Egypt. So if they tried to stay in the land to do sacrifice and sacrifice these animals that the Egyptians thought were sacred, it was like signing a death warrant. So they're saying, let us go away from here that we may do sacrifice to our God. Now notice how he responded. And the king of Egypt, verse 4, said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. Look at verse number 8. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Look at verse 14. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There's no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. Ye are idle. Get this, false accusation, false accusation, false accusation. You say, what do you mean? The second major thing that happened in the way, I'm talking about in the way of God's blessing, God's power, God's will, is that the enemy started falsely accusing. There he goes. Pharaoh accused God's people of being lazy. Really? They'd already built a number of things at this time. They weren't lazy at all. This was absolutely ridiculous for him to say that, because the construction that they had already been used to make and accomplish in that land was proof otherwise. They weren't idle. They weren't lazy. However, when Moses and Aaron came in the way of God's will, this ungodly Pharaoh started throwing out false accusations. Here's the point. When you're in the way of God's will for your life, don't be surprised if somebody comes along who accuses you of being something that you really are not. Now, I'm telling you, A lot of these things that happened in Egypt are happening in America. This unbelieving world, get it, is not the friend of Christians. Living in the way has never been popular with the world. Never. Never. And the pharaohs of it. And sometimes the pharaohs of the world will begin to make up things about you. They'll begin to throw out false accusations. You're idle. The only reason you want out of here is because you're idle. You're lazy. What's he doing? He's trying his best to stop the progress. That's what he's doing. He is throwing false accusations. I'm telling you that when the unbelieving world sees a sold out, born again, blood bought Christian going all out for God, they'll do anything they can to stop him. And if they can stop him with lies, they will. They won't stop God, but they'll try to stop them. You say, Jody, what are you telling me? I don't want to give my main thought across. But can I just say this? You sell out to God and get in his way, it's not all going to be a bed of roses, friends. We all need to understand that. The Bible says in Acts chapter 24, don't turn to it. You stay right there. Just wait on me to come back. But in Acts chapter 24, verse 1, this is talking about Paul. Notice the language. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. In other words, he's talking to the king. He's trying to butter him up is what he's trying to do. And then, skipping down to verse 5, he says this, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow. He's just a pest. That's all he is. And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple. Is that true? Was he going about to make the house of God dirty? Is that what he was? No. And he said this, whom we took and would have judged according to our law, but the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. 1 Peter 3:16-17, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In other words, those verses are saying there are people out there who are going to be speaking evil of you. It's wicked. It's ungodly. It's going to be false accusation. But if you're going to suffer, make sure you're suffering for the truth. The Bible says in Matthew 27:11-14, talking about the Lord standing before all those ungodly people as they're trying to crucify him. Here's what it says. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You know what that tells me? If everybody speaks well of you, you're a false prophet. What else does it mean? What else does it mean other than that? Now, I'm not picking a fight. You understand what I'm saying? But if the unbelieving world has only good things to say about me, I'm not doing my job. Amen, friends. I'm not talking we go out and pick a fight. But I'm telling you that when you're in the way, you're in the way, you're in the way, you're in the way of God's blessing, God's will, God's power. I'm talking about you're standing exactly where God wants you to be. You will experience more than likely apathy. You will experience more than likely accusation. Number three, you will experience abuse. We see this in verses 6 through 14. Let's read this in our text here. Now get this, Moses and Aaron have simply come to this land under the direct obedience to God's word. God has told him to come. He has come with Aaron. He goes into Pharaoh's office, if you will, his temple room, whatever it is. He points his finger at him and says, here's what God says. Let my people go. All Moses and Aaron are doing is the will of God. That's all they're doing. Notice what he did in verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded the same day that the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. Now, what that tells me is this. The government was giving them the straw to help make the brick. Now he gets mad. He says, okay, you're idle. You're trying to get out from under me. No more government help. You have to go out and find your own straw. Notice verse 8. And the tale of bricks, in other words, the number of bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Wait a minute. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you think you're working now, you wait. You want out from under me? You're just doing that because you can't take it. And the reason you can't take it is because you're lazy. So here's what I'm going to do. I want you to make every brick to the number that you make when the government gave you straw, but I'm going to strip the straw and expect you to make that same number every day. Read on. Look at verse 9. Let there be, notice the two words, more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. The taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not all of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task as when there was straw. Hey, it's bad enough to have to go out and find it. Have them crazy taskmasters saying, get with it, boy! Get up! There's no time for a water break. I mean, they're beating the daylights out of them. Look at verse 14. The officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Look at verse number 18. Go therefore now. This is after the officers realize this is impossible. He's asking us to do something impossible. And when we don't get it done, they're beating us. So these officers go in, verses 15 to 16, 17, if you will. They go in to Pharaoh and plead. Please, don't you see this is not our fault? You've put something that's impossible upon us. Verse 18, Pharaoh speaks and says, go therefore now and work. For there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. Doesn't it just make you want to reach through Scripture and grab the Pharaoh by the neck? Doesn't it want you to do that? By the way, who's he a picture of? That's exactly right. What Pharaoh's doing to the Israelites is exactly what Satan's trying to do to you. Now I'm telling you, after Moses and Aaron gave Pharaoh the words of God, you know what the Bible says? It's in the text here. The same day he brought his taskmasters and he commanded him and the officers that were over the people that they would no longer receive straw from the government. The people scattered everywhere just trying to find materials to make the bricks. But at the end of the day and the day following, they had not made the same number of bricks as when they had the straw. That's a given. It's impossible for them to do it. Therefore, the officers of the people were beaten. They were abused. Matthew Henry put it well when he said this, ignorance and contempt of God are at the bottom of all the wickedness that is in the world. One man put it this way, the more men reject God, the more cruelty will be seen in society. He doesn't know God. He doesn't care anything about God. He thinks that he's as good as God, and because of that, he's mistreating God's people. The point here is this. When God's words were announced, release my people, Pharaoh, a type of the devil, turned his attack up and began to abuse these people more than he ever had before. In other words, before the release would take place, it got worse. Pharaoh began to abuse these precious people in order to crush them. See, he was trying, in my opinion, he was trying to take the glimmer of hope that Moses was in the land. God has seen you. God is going to deliver you. And he's trying to take that and he's trying to crush their hopes. He's trying to make it to where they're so busy they have no time to think about freedom and worship. Get this. When you are in the way, do not be surprised if the devil turns his attack up a notch and tries to abuse you to the point that he tries to crush any hope you have left in your body. I'm telling you that his bullseye, if you will, is honed in on the backs. Notice I didn't say the front, I said the back. He's a coward. On the backs of those who are standing in the way. And if he can get somebody to abuse you, to mistreat you, the whole time he's doing that, he's trying to strip the little hope you have inside. You ever gotten to the point where you feel, what's the use? What's the use? I've tried and tried and tried and tried again. What's the use? That's what Moses and Aaron's going through. That's what the Israelites are going through. Get it? While they're standing in the way. Number one, in the way, he experienced apathy. Somebody didn't care anything about it. Number two, he experienced accusation, falsely accused. Number three, he experienced abuse. I mean, they turned up the pain scale, if you will, and began to abuse them. Number four, in the way, Moses and Aaron experienced attack. You say, what's this mean? Look at verse number 19. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Now before we read on, let me ask you a question. Whose fault is that? In other words, the officers who've been beaten unjustly, the officers have gone into Pharaoh, they have pleaded with Pharaoh, they have pled with him. He's looked them right in the face and said, no, it's my way. Go. The government will not help you. I will not relent. I will not do it. I will not take a step back. Let me ask you a question. Whose fault is it that they're being abused here? It's Pharaoh's fault. But notice what happened in verse 20. And they, the officers, met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge. Because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants to put a sword in their hand to slay us. You say, what's the point? Here's the point. After their meeting with Pharaoh in the will of God, that was God's will for them to meet with Pharaoh. The also the people realized their plea with him was to be of no avail. Pharaoh had his mind made up. Pharaoh is the one who's rebelling against the God of heaven. Pharaoh is the one who's causing all this turmoil and pain. However, the officers of the people turned their attack on Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron are there because God called them there to deliver them from this cruel bondage. Moses could still be back shepherding the sheep, taking it easy. But God had called him to go to Egypt. Moses and Aaron are in the way of God's will for their lives. And this phrase, where they stood in the way, according to my study, meant that they were waiting on the officers to come out from their meeting with Pharaoh because they were interested to see what Pharaoh had to say. They were standing there waiting on them. And all they know is that we're here because God called us. We're here because this is God's will for our life. And the next thing they know, that God's chosen people, the one that God has called them to help. I mean, the reason Moses left his home And his job was to help release these people from bondage. And now these people have turned against him. These people are attacking him. These people began to blame Moses and blame Aaron for their evil treatment when the whole time it was Pharaoh's fault. Let me ask you a question. You ever seen another child of God who's trying to help somebody and they're the ones that get attacked when it should be the devil or the other person? You ever seen something like that? You know, sometimes the one that gets attacked and gets criticized and gets abused is the one who's trying to help somebody. It happens all the time. And here Moses and Aaron is, the only reason they're there is because God called them. Hey, the only reason they're there is because they want to see them free. And yet, when the going got tough, they turned against them. Can you imagine how this must have just stuck a dagger in Moses' heart? I mean, he's standing there, maybe anxiously waiting. I wonder what Pharaoh said. Here comes the officers. They've been beaten. And they look at him and they said, "The Lord judge you." Said, "You've done nothing but put a sword in their hand to kill us with." You're talking about deflating somebody's balloon. At that moment, the point is, stay with me now. The point is, sometimes hardship comes as a result of obeying God. When you're in the way of God's will for your life, sometimes those who attack you are God's own people. See, before it's Pharaoh. But now, in Moses' life, it's God's people. These people who are now criticizing and attacking Moses are not the Egyptians, but the Israelites. Can I say something to you? Don't be surprised when you're in the middle of God's will if other believers criticize you. Don't be surprised. Typically, those who criticize are those who know they should be where you are. And they don't like it. I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the most practical chapters talking about the flip side of the will of God that I've ever come across in God's Word. Because God is saying, "Listen, boys, you go in my way, it's not all going to be mountaintops. There's going to be some valleys." Let me give you the fifth thing. The fifth thing that we notice in the way we notice apathy, in the way we notice accusation, in the way we notice abuse, in the way we notice attack, but lastly, in the way we notice apprehension, doubt, doubt. Look at verse 22. "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people?" Here's the question. Here's the one word that we're all familiar with. You ever been there? Why? "Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Now, there's a great thought that comes out here. What is it? Let me give it to you, and then I'll go ahead and read what I've got typed. God told him before he ever went, "Pharaoh's not going to respond right, Moses." God told him, "Pharaoh will not listen at first." But now the rubber meets the road. And he's standing before Pharaoh, and the Israelites are behind him, cheering him on, and boy, he just feels great. What a day it's been. Pharaoh looks him right in the face and says, "Not so fast, buddy. I don't even know your God. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to abuse them, and I'm going to accuse them to the point to where they get so aggravated with you, they'll turn on you." And now Moses, instead of going to God and say, "God, thank you for telling me it's going to be this way," he went to God and said, "I told you, Lord, this is not for me." He went to God and said, I told you you made a mistake. Why'd you send me here? Why is this happening? You said you're going to deliver him, and you've not lifted a finger yet. You see what's happening here? Let me ask you a question. You ever been there, friends? You ever been there? The final verse of this story bring out that all of us can identify with. They were attacked by their own people. They were abused and accused. And Pharaoh is completely apathetic. He didn't want anything to do with it. So Moses did what he should have done. He went to the Lord. That's a good thing. That was right. He went to God. But he began to speak directly to him. But as you listen in on him, you hear a man in the way. And let me tell you something. Look at me. He's still in the way when he's praying. He's still there. He didn't leave. He left early in his life. He didn't leave. He's still there. He's still in the right place. He's still standing where he's supposed to be. But you listen in on his words. And he's doubting. He's questioning God. He blamed God. He said, why are you treating the people evil like this? He blamed God. You can read it right there. He said, why are you doing this to the people? He went on to say the Lord hadn't delivered his people at all. You know, a man put it well when he said this. He drew a picture. He said, Scripture doesn't say, but I can well imagine some tears being shed at this stressful moment. And this man begins to put it into common terms, if you will, and says, like Moses talking to God and talking back, saying, Moses saying, I told you back at the bush I'm not the guy for this job. And you kept saying, Moses, you're the man. I told you and told you, no, I'm not. I'm not cut out for this kind of thing. I'll fail. But God, you kept saying, yes, you are. You're my choice. So I reluctantly gave in and I walked all the way from Midian. God, I left my home and my job and here I am, Lord, in trouble with Pharaoh and hated by the very people I wanted to help. See? I told you I wasn't the one for the job. I did exactly what you said. Used your very words. And Pharaoh just kicked sand in my face. And these poor people are worse off and about to die because I've made all the officials so angry. See, it sounds like Moses at this point and at this time of trouble in the way he's in trouble. Things aren't well. People are turning against him. All of these during that time. He forgot the promises of God. The Lord clearly told him that Pharaoh would not listen. He told him. But get this, when life got heavy and his heart got burdened down and the people that he thought loved him now says they hate him, he forgot God's promises. Perhaps Moses thought it would be quicker than this. Perhaps Moses thought that things would fall in place sooner than he expected. But the point I'm trying to get across is Moses should have known better. Because again, don't miss it, God told him it would happen. The point here is when you're in the way, there will be things come that make no sense to you. When you're standing in the way of God's will, there's going to be some things to happen that make no sense. It's during these times when the devil tries to get you to doubt God and doubt his promises. However, Moses is getting ready to see. Well, I'm excited about chapter 6. Moses is praying in the latter part of chapter 5. God's hearing his doubt, his disrespect. And then in chapter 6, God says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And now I will begin to show my power. But I'm telling you something. Moses doesn't know it right here. Moses doesn't understand it right here. But God's going to use this very event to prove to him that he can trust his word. He can rest in his promises. He can take it to the bank. Things were going great. Life was at its pinnacle. Moses and Aaron are in the will of God. They've surrendered the white flag. They've moved into Egypt. The people have gathered around. There's a big pep rally going on. Everything's going great. However, we saw in this chapter that spiritual mountain turned into a valley very quickly. And one of the greatest days of his life turned into one of the worst days of his life. And in that day and the day following, while he was in the will of God, he saw apathy towards God and God's word. He saw accusation from Pharaoh. He saw abuse by Pharaoh. He saw attack from God's own people until it made him become apprehensive about his own call. Now, as we consider what took place during this time, here's the truth I've been trying to nail home. You listening? Let us all realize the important truth that many times one who is in the way, one who's in the way, many times things get much worse before it ever turns to the better. During those times, we're not to ask why, like Moses, but just trust and continue on in the way. One person said, "Who has ever achieved great things for him, God, without having overcome bitter and desperate conditions?" Another man put it this way, "Our calling is not determined by quick success or even success in the eyes of men, but our calling is determined by the will of God." Determine now to get in the way of God's will and stay there no matter what. Realize when you are in the way, things will not always be a bed of roses. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back. There may be false accusation. There may be abuse. There may be, listen folks, there may be apathy. There may be other things. There may be attack from God's own people. And it may even get to the point to where you begin to question yourself and begin to look up and say, why? But I'm telling you, understand that that is in the way. It's there. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across? God is honest with us. He says the way is the way of blessing. Hey, we know the end of the story. We know how many miracles Moses is going to see. But he had to go through chapter 5 to get there. You know where some of you are tonight? Chapter 5. And I'm telling you that even though he questioned, even though he did one thing Moses did, he stayed put. He did not move away. He planted his feet firm. He's shaking. He's rattling. He's not firm himself. He's questioning. I mean, he's got knives stuck in his back, but he's staying in the way, regardless of all those bad things that happened. And because of that, now God is getting ready to take center stage. And God is getting ready to say, I will answer Pharaoh myself. Who is the Lord? Pharaoh, you're getting ready to find out. Stay put in the will of God. Do you get this, friends? I'll start back over if you don't get it. You know I'm kidding with you. Stay in the way and realize it's not all going to be good there, friends. There's going to be some bad there, but you stay put anyway. Even when you doubt, even when you question, you go to God and you stay put and watch God work. May the Holy Spirit of God apply this however He sees fit. So I ask you, are you in the way? Stay right there. Don't move. Stay still. And see what God has for you in chapter 6. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to trust You and believe You. Help us to understand that, Lord, in a child of God's life, oftentimes there's chapter 5. And I pray that You'll help us to understand this. Deal with us thoroughly. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without asking the question, or one similar to it, do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you 100% sure? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible. We'll share with you the gospel. Not joining this church, not being baptized, just inviting you to the Savior. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you're not in the way and you need to get in it. But really the message tonight is for those who are in the way. Realize that when you're in that place, there'll be apathy. There's going to be some people who could care less. They won't anything to do with it. Hey, in that place, there's going to be accusation. Don't be surprised if somebody lies about you. Hey, in that place, there can be abuse. Don't be surprised if they try to hurt you in some way. I'm not necessarily talking about physically. I'm talking about with their words and things like that. Hey, in that place, there could be attack from God's own people. The unbelievers can only attack you there, but sometimes God's own people start turning against you. They misrepresent you. They don't understand you. So they start talking about you. Start criticizing you. Or maybe you've gotten to the point in your life where you're in the way. As far as you know, your heart's right, but you've caught yourself asking the question. Maybe nobody else even knows. But you've had the question go through your mind, God, why? 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 What I'm trying to preach to you is that God sees the end of the book, not just the beginning. And He wants us to trust Him. Because He's getting ready to begin the work. As long as you stay in the way. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the simple thought. Help us to be faithful. Help us to get in the way, stay in the way, regardless of what happens. Help us to be determined. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing of God speaking to you.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have